The president was greeted by veteran Soviet ambassador
to offer condolences on the death of Leonid Brezhnev.
The operation is what's crucial, because what we do is for the good of the many. Don't let your conscience get us killed.
If you tell her now, it will all blow up.
But at least she'll know who she is.
Jamie, we're here to do The Americans on West Coast Project, number 408, The Magic of David Copperfield 5, not Verses. I don't know why I was such a frickin' idiot calling it Verses, but it's Magic of David Copperfield 5, The Statue of Liberty Disappears.
Yes.
How are you tonight, Jamie?
Awesome.
Did you know there's a whole series of those Magic of David Copperfields?
Okay, so you mean like specials that he had on TV?
Yeah, they must have been. So this was like number 5. There's a 7, there's a 13 or whatever. You know, there's a number of them.
Oh, okay.
That's why this was a V and not Versus, it's 5.
Okay.
Jamie, do you collect stamps?
No, but it's funny that you say that, because my brother used to collect stamps and he had like a box that had stamps in it.
Well, he was like Stan and Gad tonight then. Gad does not collect stamps, though.
What?
It's funny. You'll remember it when we get to it. When they're about to go up in the elevator and Stan tries to make Gad feel better.
Yes. Okay.
All right. This one was directed by Matthew Reeves himself. He did a pretty good job. Although this was a very weird episode, I thought. How did you like it?
It was extremely, extremely different from the normal, but I really liked it a lot. And, it's that thing they do. They just get better and better. It's like, I don't know. I think each episode this season has been better than the one before it. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like the best. It's better than last week, which is better than the one before that, and better. But I mean, it was pretty good, but it was just weird. It was quirky. It had it had several viewpoints in it. It had like different viewpoints in it, and it had a weird time jump in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just not a typical episode.
Right. It was crazy. And, you know, that's the most time we've had pass. Like, you know, like at one time for sure, but even in like in a season, we've never had that much time pass.
Yeah, 7 months.
It's crazy.
All right, Jamie, Clark and Martha have their last night, and they get up with Gabriel in the morning. Zero words for like the first 5 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, I really like that.
Very gloomy. They drive out to the remote field, the airfield. It's just a field, really not even an airfield. Looks like somebody slapped up some temporary artificial lights, and that was it.
Yeah, and did you notice that the lights went out as soon as they took off? All the lights on the runway and everything went off?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the vehicles there. It looked like there was an extra vehicle in addition to the car that Philip, Martha, and Gabriel drove up in.
Those were lights. They were just distorted because of the way they were, like, curving around. But I thought the same thing, but it was the lights.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought that on the second watch, that they were wasn't a car. It was just the lights. But somebody had to set up those lights. You think they did? They got there, set up the lights?
Well, somebody did. Some comrade.
Well, there was nobody else there but the pilot and the three of them.
Yeah, but you don't know who was there before. You know how they work.
So he goes, sets up the lights, turns them on, and goes back to bed? Maybe it was the phone girl.
Oh, God.
Anyway, they have their final goodbyes, which kind of end with, don't be alone. Don't be alone was very sincere for Martha, but not so much for Philip, I thought. She was very sincere. Don't be alone. But his response was not as sincere, because he's not alone. He's got his gig going.
All right. So I was surprised by what Martha said. Like, I thought that her mood would be very different than it was. I thought that she was disappointed and angry, maybe. Maybe not angry, but remote, you know? Like, I thought that she was disappointed and sad and maybe disillusioned enough to, you know, not really want to talk to Clark and not really want to deal with him, you know? And it turns out, like, she feels like they're both, you know, suffering, that they have to be apart from one another. And, you know, she's trying to be encouraging to him. And that was really surprising to me. Were you surprised by that?
I think a lot of what she was doing was putting on a brave face. She's very stoic. And by her offering him not to be alone, maybe covers up some of her fear and her disappointment and her sadness. But I think she was being stoically, like, artificially brave.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. But I would not, the mood that I would have thought that Martha would have been in, she would have been like how she was before this episode, not caring about what anybody, you know, has to say. And I would have thought that she would have given almost the Gabriel treatment, you know, to Clark Phillip. I really expected for her to be upset with him as opposed to trying to be stoic for his sake.
Yeah, I like that she wasn't upset, though. They gave her some dignity, and she kind of went bravely into this crazy adventure that's like a misadventure, I guess. But I didn't want her to whine anymore and cry and accuse him of stuff. And she was just being kind of brave, I thought, even if it was kind of putting up a false front.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was nice. But I also thought that that Clark Phillips' reaction was not what you thought. I think that he probably felt horrible because she was sincerely trying to comfort him and make him feel better about what was happening. I think that that he felt awful.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think he feels. He feels hugely regretful for what he's done to her.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't think I'm still going through this with Michelle. Now do you see that he loves her? Like, see how bad he felt? Like, he felt bad because he dicked her over. He ruined her life. That's why he felt bad. I don't think he loves her. I think he's looking inside himself like, what a fucking asshole I am for doing this to this other human being.
I agree with you.
It's regret. It's like, God, I'm an asshole. God, look what this thing's making me do to people.
Right. And I mean, I don't know what he feels for Martha. And I've been just like Michelle. I've been that person who's like, oh, he loves her. He loves her. He loves her. But now I really don't believe that he did love her. I think that I think it's possible that he has confused feelings and that he may realize that he had real feelings for Martha. I think it's possible because of, like, how he's been behaving, his anger with Elizabeth and his withdrawal, you know, at least before the 7 months went by. So I think that there's a part of him that cares about her beyond just, I'm sorry I screwed your life up.
Yeah, he definitely connected with her. Definitely connected with her in ways that he wasn't connecting with Elizabeth. Just like Elizabeth's connecting with young he in ways that Philip won't connect with her, that she needs that connection for. It's kind of a need thing. I think he feels regretful, though. Like, he kind of used her. She was a tool in this whole spy caper. And then he kind of used her as a person, too, in personal relationship-wise. She gave him some feelings that Elizabeth withheld from him. You know, maybe that's another way of calling it love, but I mean, just her kissing him and him like, okay, I'll let you kiss me. It wasn't a very passionate kiss by Clark back to Martha. Well,
no, and it wouldn't have been because of the state of things, and because I think he felt awful, and because I don't believe anymore that he loves her the way that I thought that he loved her, because I thought that she was going to give Elizabeth a run for her money. I mean, I really thought that he cared that much, but it's a strange thing, you know, how they got into that fight, he and Elizabeth, because he was defending Martha, you know, and saying she's not simple and he wouldn't let it go.
Well, I would argue that that fight with Elizabeth is indication of love. It's like indication of passion. If you don't fight like that, you don't have that passion. But oh, yeah, you're right. He was defending Martha in a way that was close to what you might reflect on as love. Like, she was more complicated and more deeper than you're giving her credit for. He was protecting her.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't think that it was about passion, because he was, I feel like that he was pretty disgusted with her, you know, and like cold to her. I don't think that was about love or passion or anything. It might have been on her side because she's feeling jealous, but I don't think it was on his side.
Yeah, he was disgusted with Elizabeth. Like, you're looking at her so superficially, and she's a human. He feels bad about all this. That's why, I mean, Martha was a human being that got really damaged by everything they did to her. And she's like, oh, it'll be okay. And I could see why he was mad at Elizabeth over that.
Yeah.
So the plane takes off. Then, Jamie, boom, it explodes. Martha and rat guts all over suburban D.C.
I don't know what happened to the rat. They didn't reveal.
Well, that's just that's in her green night bag. She didn't have much luggage, did she, for going away for the rest of her life?
No, because they're going to provide her with clothing.
Yeah, one gray.
Right.
Mao shirt. All right, so we then take us right to the credits. We come back, Henry's having breakfast and watching or talking about the Statue of Liberty is going to disappear on TV.
Yep, and Dad won't be here, though.
But Philip returns and says, we lost a client and we will have more time to be, I will have more time to be with you, so get used to more Dad in your lives.
And Henry's like, does that mean we're poor?
And they're at the FBI, they're looking at drawings, more Martha and Clark. And we learn now something about these fingerprints. I thought there was going to be a problem with the fingerprints on the phone booth in the park. But they start talking about Martha's fingerprints and Clark's, although they don't know who Clark is, obviously. But fingerprints from the bus station. Do you remember that? When were they at the bus station?
I don't know.
So they have Philip's fingerprints, but they don't have his original stuff on file, so they can't really match it up to anything.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, they don't know who he is.
And Stan and Adderall talk a little bit. Adderholt. He's mad. Stan's mad that she lied right to my face.
Yeah, he's really frustrated, and I'm trying to think about the words he used. He said something about what kind of person does it take to do that?
Yeah, I think a lot of this reflected the Clark and Martha thing, like how she affected him is the prevailing emotion. Not what she did as a spy, but she did this to me. I'm Stan, and she lied right to my face, my secretary, our office secretary. I don't know. I think a lot of this show, a lot of the feelings in this show are the people looking inward and seeing what they did to themselves, you know, what other people did to affect themselves. I don't know. That may not be an accurate take, but to affect how they feel inside and not really how they feel about the other person, but how that other person made them feel inside themselves.
You know, I think you're on to something, and I'll probably have to really think about this episode more and maybe watch it another time, but I think you're really, really on to something because, I mean, if you think about, like, Elizabeth and the script she had going in her head and, you know, Paige, and she's got all this stuff in her head, and Philip, of course, and then, you know that Gabriel's got all this crap going on with him, and he's, you know, arguing with Claudia, and Claudia's got all this crap that she's, you know, dealing with and trying to make Gabriel understand. And then you've got Lisa, who's just broken. And, you know, I mean, really, I think you're really right. And then there's Henry in the middle of all of it, clueless, just totally clueless.
Well, these shows seem to have these themes to them. So if you find one little piece of evidence of it, it's pretty easy to pick up on. You're right. Those other people had kind of the same thing going on. But Stan's upset. She did this to me. She lied to my face. And he can't even eat a sandwich. Throws a sandwich back on the pile. All right, we go back to the Jennings house. Elizabeth and Philip are together. He's reading Est, and she asks him about Paige, and he doesn't really want to engage in conversation with Elizabeth. She asks about Martha, and he says she made it as good as she could, and then they talk a little bit more about the book. She's really digging into him, Jamie, to get him to talk, and he's just stilted with his answers.
That's right. He's being so cold and so, like, distant.
And he comes up with something, like, she's trying to get him to talk about, like, how he's feeling. And he just says, well, you know, this book gets me realize some things that I want to do. And, like, all winter I wanted to play hockey, so I'm gonna play hockey. Like, who the fucking cares about that? He's going to play hockey.
I mean, so that's what Est does. It kind of makes you confront, like, you know, your stuff. And I mean, that it was a crazy answer, but that's how distant he is and how much he doesn't give a crap about whatever it is that Elizabeth, you know, wants to know about or at whatever amount of closeness she wants to have. And, you know, and the question, I guess, is what is going on with him? Because Elizabeth didn't force Philip to be with Martha. That was the center. You know, and if he's angry with her about, you know, being spies, he could have quit anytime he wanted to. He could have talked more about not doing it. There are different solutions that he could have found. So my curiosity is, what is making him so angry with Elizabeth?
Well, I think he's in the throes of Est right here, and he's on the couch reading the book. I mean, Est is pretty much a license to be more selfish with your life, I think. Go get what you need. Unbreak the jail you've made for yourself. Fulfill your own, you know, your own capability or whatever. Fulfill your own life. And I think he's in the throes of it as he's reading this book, plus everything else that's been building up in him. And then he's just done this to Martha. I think he's being selfish. You know, I want to play hockey. I'm going to go play hockey. I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to give you shitty, stilted, short answers.
Yeah, I know. It just seems like he's angry with her, but maybe he's taking out his anger on her because she's the safest place to take it out. I don't know, but yeah, you're right about that. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's okay for him to be selfish. You know, and even for her to be selfish because of the reason that Gabriel came up with, you know, later, which, what the hell? Because, I mean, it just seems so weird to me that he really has been this whole time, this whole season, and even last season, saying opposing things to Philip and Elizabeth than what he talks about with Claudia. So it seems to me like he is really being their handler. Like, you know, like he's handling them. They don't really know what he really thinks.
They don't know what Gabriel thinks?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if Gabriel knows what he thinks.
I think he knows enough of what he thinks to know that he's putting on a face with Philip and Elizabeth.
Yeah. He needs to do what Elizabeth does here. He needs to back away from them and just turn to a buddy for some support, and that's Claudia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the theme of this thing. It's like, these relationships are so hot that I need to back away from them and get my downtime and then just, like, recharge myself somehow.
Yeah.
But I think that's what Philip's trying to do, and Elizabeth's just prompting him for all these answers, and he's not really willing to give up any info.
Yeah, I don't think Philip, I don't know. I think he seems depressed to me. Like, he's that, you know, kind of angry, kind of depressed.
Well, he just lost his lover. Just kidding. All right, so Elizabeth now calls Young Hee for no reason, apparently, other than just needing support, needing a friend to hang out with. And they go to a movie. They go to see, and I got this from Sepinwall because I couldn't get it from the show, Jamie. I don't know if you got it, but Tender Mercies.
Uh-huh.
Did they show that on the billing or something on the movie theater?
No, I went to look up something about the show, and I saw it in whatever the article was about the show.
Yeah, I was looking around for it on the marquee or something. I couldn't find it.
I saw the one for the other movie, though, the one that they snuck into.
The Outsiders.
Yeah, I saw that one because they had the poster up. But I didn't see the other one. I was looking up the city Herat from when Tatiana talks about it.
Well, Tender Mercies won Robert Duvall Best Actor Oscar. And then The Outsiders had a bunch of people before they were actually stars in it. Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, Emilio Estevez. It's like the boy heartthrobs of 1980. Anyway, so they go to a movie and they're out in the lobby kind of crying together. Like, wow, that was a great emotional experience. Mm-hmm. Jamie Young, he has the hugest flat top haircut I've ever seen.
That is not a flat top haircut.
I know, but it's like all twirled up like that to make it look. The top of her head is flat.
Yeah, that's right.
And Young He now apologizes for gaming her into Mary Kay. Mary Kay is kind of a multi-level get your friends to get their friends to get their friends and family. And then that emotion is reflected later on by Elizabeth after she goes to Est and sees the same thing happening there. They just want you to get your, you know, invest your money and then get your friends. And then it's kind of a Mary Kay scheme.
Right. Yeah, that was, do you think that Elizabeth was thinking about that?
About Mary Kay?
Do you think that she put those two things together? Do you think that that's why?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think the show was giving us that message because Elizabeth had made that registered with her.
Okay.
And it was very, very cool that I think that the writers had Young He apologize for getting her involved in Mary Kay. Like, you're really my friend. I got to tell you, you know, this is kind of it's a tiny bit of a scam for me to get you involved. I mean, business is business to business, right? Mm-hmm. If you get your family members to invest in stuff, it's different. It's just different. And friends and family, now that you've become my friend, I feel bad that I got you into this. This is kind of what she was saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's true. And I think it was kind of nice of her to apologize to, what's her name? What's Elizabeth's name with her?
I don't know. Jennifer? Can't remember.
No, that's with Martha. I don't know what her name is with Young He. Anyway, so whatever it is, I think it's nice of Young He to apologize to fake Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting when Young He's tale needs to be told and Elizabeth needs to bash her in the head with a bottle or whatever the hell she's going to do to her.
God, it's so awful.
But anyway, they do finish that movie, talk a little bit, laugh a little bit, have that honest apology from Young He. Then they sneak back into The Outsiders.
That's right.
Now, Philip goes to visit Gene Kraft's grave, Jamie, or one next to it, so it doesn't look like he's at his grave. That was a very interesting perspective on the death of Gene Kraft, that he's dead, man. He's not just not coming in anymore, and he's not just one moment that Philip killed him in a scene, and he's hanging there and like, ooh, okay, next scene, what's the next part of The Americans we're going to watch? He's in a grave. He's done. And to have the writers have Philip visit him was a really, really weird perspective on his death.
Yes, it really was. And I had to look it up because when I saw Eugene Kraft on the gravestone, I didn't know who that was. So I had to actually look it up. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, dude, that's like really bad because Philip is really, really feeling awful. You know, to go out there and visit his grave, that's, you know, visiting somebody's grave is like, It's an emotional thing in a way because it's kind of like you're taking care of the person even though they're gone. And so that's a real kind of a emotional, like kind of tender place to be because it's a kindness, you know? And maybe it was only Philip's guilt, but it didn't make him drink or, you know, be reckless with himself or anything like that. It brought him to Jean's grave.
Yeah, and it's another thing that where it's a it's another person outside of yourself that's causing you to look inward, to look in and reflect on yourself. Because obviously there's no more Gene. Gene doesn't know he's there. Gene doesn't appreciate him visiting. It's Philip reflecting inwardly, and it's a message between Philip and himself.
Right.
So, and plus the oddity of it where he can't even go up to the right grave. He has to do it from like a row away just to not get caught.
Yeah, in a disguise.
Yeah. Anyway, so I thought that kind of fit the theme of this. All right, Stan's missing some beer now, Jamie. He doesn't know what happened to it and just needs to recoup it. He's running low, so he goes next door.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just take one out of the fridge. He takes the whole six-pack in the cardboard container out and sets it on the table as if I'm taking this sucker with me when I leave, dude. And Philip, and then he drinks like half of the first one. He gulps it down.
Yeah, I would imagine he needs to have a little beer right now. He's not having the best time.
He's getting his lawyer, or Sandra's lawyer is giving him divorce papers, or his lawyer is getting him from Sandra's lawyer, whatever.
Right.
If Philip tries to buck him up a little bit, Stan, you got your son, your house, you got Tori, right? You still got Tori. Stan just says, well, off and on, more off than on. And
yeah.
Interestingly, Philip tells him, you'll be fine. Just like Elizabeth telling Philip, Martha will be fine.
Yeah. But I think... You know, I think what it was for, well, maybe I'm reading into it, but what I think it was for Philip at that moment was like, really, dude, like you're complaining kind of thing, because what he's going through is so much worse.
Yeah, so much worse. But at least, I mean, I really believe Philip loves Elizabeth. She's his true love, and he still has her. And Stan doesn't have his true love. So I feel like Philip is in a better position than Stan. Because Stan's got his house. That's not a big deal. Stan's got his son, like kind of part-time, I guess, part-time custody. Although he's getting older, he's going to be in college. It's not really going to matter so much. But I think Stan has lost a lot of things, too. Different things than Philip. I don't know. I mean, do you think Philip's, maybe Philip's visiting graves of people he's murdered? So I guess that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that on the surface, like if you look at, you know, what Philip has compared to what Stan has on the surface, you're absolutely right. But I think that that underneath, you know, what Philip has lost of himself really is his humanity, because he really is, you know, he's a tool of the state. He's a tool of his country. You know, and he does what they tell him to do, whether it's hurting someone or ending their life or stealing from them or lying to them, you know. And after he did this awful thing, you know, to Martha, and really, 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 truly ruined her life. You know, to hear Stan complaining that he's got divorce papers has got to kind of set his teeth on edge.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great point. That Philip has a lot of superficial type of things, but he's done some pretty soul damaging things, like killing Jean, killing, or essentially exiling Martha to some stone cold life that's not going to be very pleasant.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great point. Stan doesn't have that to keep him up at night. Just the, you know, when's he going to see Tori next? And where's my damn beer? He fixes the beer problem, though, Jamie. Elizabeth comes home and asks him to stay for dinner, but he says no thanks and takes the beer. He wanted to stay for dinner.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he did. He just wanted to get out of there. He didn't want to be selfish, but he absolutely wanted to stay.
And so he's... Kindly, he says, thanks, but no thanks. I'll give you your guys' time together. Elizabeth asks where the kids are, and Phillips just says, still out. How's it going with young he? I don't think he gets young he. He doesn't understand young he, just like Elizabeth doesn't understand Est, even though they're both providing things to the other person that are important.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything for him to understand about young he. There's no conflict there.
But he never says, like, she's been a really good friend for you, huh? Or you're, or do you think she's just not showing up on his radar at all?
Well, okay, so she's not really her friend. Like, Elizabeth is setting this woman up to use her. Like, they're not friends. Elizabeth called that, like, on that day, and she may have gotten something out of spending time with her. But that, I think, was just kind of, you know, a coincidence that Elizabeth needed to kind of, you know, get away from her environment. But she was doing homework.
I think the Tender Mercies meeting with Young He was definitely a friendly only, not a mission-driven meeting.
Well, I mean, okay, so I won't say mission-driven, but I think part of her job is to get closer to Young He.
Yeah, to build up the relationship. But that's right. What I'm kind of saying is that Philip doesn't get that there's any friendship with Young He that is fulfilling something within Elizabeth. Just like Elizabeth doesn't really quite understand the Est, why Philip is getting so much out of Est. She's trying to. She goes and tries to see it herself, but she still doesn't get it.
You know, I really thought that she was trying to get closer to Philip by going over there and coming back and telling him about it. But then she, you know, disparages it to him.
I think she is. I think you're right. She is trying to get closer, but she doesn't understand it.
Yeah, but so she really, if that's what her means, if that's what her intention was, she ruined it by attacking the thing and making, and basically saying to Philip, yeah, you're a fool because you're letting these people dupe you. You know, right. I mean, it completely undid whatever it was that she was trying to do, if that's what she was trying to do.
Right. I agree with that. She was trying to figure him out so she could get closer to him, and then she just disses it, which is like, it'd be better if he never even went in the fucking first place.
Exactly.
But I don't know. It's interesting to see her there. It's interesting to see her take on it. And maybe Est, I mean, I like what I've seen in Est in this show. I'd be interested in going and listening to them and seeing what happens at a meeting. But when she started describing it like Mary Kay, that really turned me off on it. Like, well, okay, yes. You got to bring a friend next time. You got to bring a friend. And the dues are only $18. And I could see it being like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they start talking about Martha. Philip says, it turns out they really were onto her, and I was really worried that I pulled her and sent her off to another country for nothing, but it seems like they were onto her because Stan left some hints about disaster at work and all that.
Yeah, which is, you know, great, and I'm glad for him because I think that would have really bothered him for a very, very long time, if not forever. You know, just that uncertainty, like, I already ruined her life. Now I'm going to send her off someplace where she's completely isolated and nobody knows her and she doesn't know anybody or even speak the language. That makes it so much worse if that was pointless.
Yeah, I like Martha, and I'm glad that she's been helped by this movement by Philip, but I think she's better off dead. I don't think she's going to be very happy sitting in freezing cold Moscow in a crappy apartment with cold radiator and not knowing any people and not knowing the language, and I don't know.
Maybe maybe Martha will learn Russian and be okay. I don't know. I think it's interesting that 7 months went by though, because maybe we'll see Martha.
By the way, Jamie, I was really wrong about Martha. I said she'll never leave the U.S., but she's at least on Cuban soil.
We were both wrong about Martha.
Well, maybe not totally wrong, because she hasn't set foot yet in Prague and then Leningrad or Stalingrad or Moscow or wherever whatever the hell city she ends up in.
Well, okay, wait. I thought she landed in Prague.
No, she's going to be in Prague tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
She landed in Cuba.
Oh, okay.
So she that little plane took her to Key West, and then a boat took her from Key West to Cuba.
Oh, okay.
And she's leaving for Prague in the morning.
Well, I think that both you and I said that we didn't think she would even get into that plane. And then we saw the Nextons and realized she was in the plane. But I kind of really, really, really thought that plane was going to crash or disappear into thin air because of the title of the episode.
Yeah, and the whole thing about the rat, her incubating the rat along the way, that doesn't look like it's happening.
Mm-mm. No, well, I was just kidding with that stuff. I don't think that that would actually happen. But I was wondering what would happen with that rat, and turns out we didn't even see it.
Just in a jar. Why can't they just take it in a jar, in a cooler?
Because they had to get it from Gabriel's freezer into the plane. So unless they put it in Martha's bag without her knowing, I don't know how it got onto the plane because...
Well, they brought two bags in the trunk.
Right.
I mean, this isn't like a two carry-on limit, Martha. You know, one was probably her bag, and one was probably the rat. The rat was definitely part of the plan. Tatiana had the rat. She's more worried about that than Martha.
Right. So, but, I mean, okay. I don't know how they would have gotten it, because it's not like Martha's going to be like, oh, they're sending an extra bag. I wonder, you know, I don't wonder why they're doing that. You know, you see what I'm saying? I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Don't sit in that seat. That's the rat seat. I also thought it was funny when Martha got on the plane. They didn't help her very much. And I don't think it's very usual for people to climb into a vehicle like that. Like, okay, do I step on the wing? How do I get into the back seat? They just kind of left her alone, and she figured it out on her own. I thought that was a little unusual.
It was weird.
All right, so now Philip and Elizabeth have their talk, Jamie. And Elizabeth tries to comfort him and says, she'll be okay. She was a nice woman, uncomplicated and simple. And Philip says she wasn't simple. And Elizabeth tries to back off a little bit and says, I didn't mean simple. I meant that you could talk to her. And kind of like, I think, Young He, she talks to Young He. Young He seems kind of simple.
You know what? I think you missed the scene where Philip took the Kimmy recording to Gabriel.
Yeah, I jam them together sometimes because otherwise I got to go back. Okay, now we go to Morrison's bar and then we cut right back to. I'm just putting it all together.
Oh.
Philip and Elizabeth's conversation. But yeah, they do that. You're right. They do. They cut back and forth like three times to a scene.
Okay, so that was really interesting. And actually, that cutting back and forth, I really liked it at the end with Gad. And the rest of the scenes. But this one, I just wanted to talk about it because this is the part where Philip is telling Gabriel that he wants to tell Martha's parents that she's alive or that she's okay. And they're going back and forth about the time span, and Gabriel really doesn't want.
Right. So for the same reason we won't bust that one up into three different conversations, let's finish this one with Philip and Elizabeth, and then we can move on to that one.
Okay, sorry.
This just started. It happened first with Philip and Elizabeth, so that's why I put it together.
Okay.
Because you're right. Otherwise, you got to stop that conversation. Okay, now they go to Morrison's bar for a second, and Philip talks to Gabriel, and then they come back to Philip and Elizabeth. But this was an important conversation because she's complicated. She's more complicated than you give her credit for, Elizabeth. People underestimated her. And then this is, I think, that point about internal. This is all the internal. It doesn't really have anything to do about Martha. It's about how Elizabeth views Martha and how she's relating that back to Philip. It's like good intentions but bad results, right? Like Elizabeth's trying to be nice to Philip. She'll be okay. She was simple. People liked her. I kind of liked her. She was uncomplicated. It was a good thing. It was a good intention but bad results.
Yep, that's right.
And then it was like kind of all on a slippery slope of this built-up anger. There's a lot of built-up anger that comes out.
Yeah, that's right.
And then more anger pretty soon. But so now we can go to the bar. So we go to this Morrison's bar, and Philip gives Gabriel the Kimberly tape. So we heard on the one of the other forums or something that Philip's still maintaining this relationship with Kimmy, and this is proof of it. And Gabriel shares with Philip, your son finished his tour and he's home safe. Mm-hmm. And maybe what you're doing, maybe what you're getting from Kimberly and the Breland bug, the Breland's Kimberly's dad, helped him survive his tour.
Right. And then Philip says something like, does he have anybody there? Like people to be with him, I guess, with his son.
Yeah.
And then Gabriel says something about his father who's there or something like that. Isn't that what he said?
Well, Philip's his father. You mean Gabriel's own father?
No, meaning Misha's father. Like, I guess he has, like, whoever his mother married, that's his...
Oh, quote, Philip's quote, father.
No. Misha's fake father. Like, his father in Russia.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Because Philip is Misha. I thought you meant him. So Philip, Mikhail / Misha, who's Philip, had a son named Misha.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right, so now Philip wants to get news. He wants news on Martha, but then he wants to get news to Martha's parents. So Gabriel says, okay, I'll have someone try to call her parents, and it'll take about 6 months. And Philip says, if we want, we can do it sooner, and we can even arrange a visit. We can do whatever we want. Pretty much. It's like kind of like you wanted Elizabeth to visit her mother, and Gabriel said there's no way, and he still did it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's doing the same thing here with Martha.
I agree.
All right, so this may get split up still a little bit, Jamie. We go to the Est meeting now. The Est guy is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of you here has the opportunity to live an authentic life, but you're trapped. You're stuck in a box of your own design. And we see Elizabeth in the middle of the audience watching this. And the guy says, you love the prison you've made for yourself. Do you think she's buying any of this? Do you think any of it's registering with her?
I think, well, to me, her face in that moment looked very sincerely interested, you know, in what he was saying. And now, because of her reaction to, you know, to the visit, I think that maybe it was just she was perking up like, oh, wait a minute, this sounds like a, you know, what do they call it? A pyramid scheme, just like young he's, you know, maybe that's what she was thinking. But at the time, I thought it had struck her.
Don't you think it could be both?
Maybe. Yes, because she came back and said, you know, that a lot of it was useful. But the problem with it was that it was, you know, trying to get your money.
Yeah, because she in the audience, she did, like you said, she did have that very enlightened look on her face. Like, that makes sense. I like that thought.
Right.
And then at the end of it with Philip, maybe at the end of the meeting is when they pass around the hat or the basket or something. And then she's like, oh, this is bullshit. They're just jiving people for money.
Right.
All right. So we go to Tatiana now and Oleg. Here's where we learn Martha's in Cuba waiting for the Prague flight.
Right.
And Oleg is really happy in this scene, Jamie, and Tatiana is not. And we find out her brother is called into service into the 12th Guards Motor Rifle Regiment in Herat. So what did you find out about Herat?
Well, okay, so it was actually pretty interesting what I found out about Herat. All right, so Herat is a city in Afghanistan, and it is located. There's an airport there that was actually built, before the Soviet Afghanistan war. This airport was built, and I think it was built by the United States. And the city of Herat actually is. Connected by highway, it's linked with Kandahar and Mazar al-Sharif on their main road, and it's actually hugely old. I mean, like if you look at the the history of the country, it's like super duper old, that city. But anyway, so that's where a lot of the war actually took place, and that's where the worst of the fighting was. And so if somebody was going to Herat particularly at that time, like in those years, those like middle 80s years, it was bad. You were probably going to get killed because what the USSR did was they like bombarded that area of Afghanistan with like bombs and mines, and they would like blow up like civilians. Like they would like bomb schools and houses and like regular people and like neighborhoods and public areas. They didn't care who they killed, because there were the way that it was like it was guerrilla warfare. Because so Soviet Union and the leaders of Afghanistan were allies, and the religious factions were the guerrilla warriors, and they were Afghani mujahideen. So you remember last season where they had the mujahideen and they brought them in, and then they got that dude to murder all his friends, his compatriots? Well, those were the people who were causing all the trouble in Afghanistan, because they were religious extremists, or just religious. I'm not sure if they were extreme, actually. But the USSR came in and allied with the Afghan government that was secular government and socialist government, and tried to destroy the guerrilla uprising. That's basically what it was. And so if you were in that city of Herat, your chances of being dead were really high.
Well, Oleg seems to know this, because he right away, he doesn't even say anything to her. He just grabs her hand like to comfort her. But it's funny. He doesn't look her in the eye. He just reaches across and squeezes her hand.
Which I really loved, because that, to me, that means that he was really like in his feelings. It's just like what you were saying, actually, because you were saying that like people were taking the experiences or the what they were having, their interactions with other people, and taking that, whatever it was that happened between them and the other person, and internalizing it.
We would see the evidence of it in whatever that other person did.
Exactly. And so to me, the way that he didn't look at her was like, I'm here for you and your pain, but I am feeling my pain.
Yeah. I like Oleg. I think he's a good guy.
I like Oleg too.
All right, next scene, Philip digs out his hockey gear and Elizabeth comes home from the Est meeting. And here's that anger, like big time. Elizabeth says, I see why you like it, but it's a qualified statement. She's trying to still win him over, I think, be nice to him. I see why you like it, but there's a but at the end of it. Uh-huh. And she says, it's good that someone makes you look at things that are hard to talk about, and then they make you question it. But what I don't like is they try so hard to make you sign up for more and bring in more friends, and just like Mary Kay. It was like Mary Kay. And they manipulate you to get at your wallet. Very American. Mm-hmm. So that, like you said, that ruins the whole nice side of it. Even if it's true, it kind of blows away the nice thought that she was trying to convey.
Exactly. Which is, you know, you don't really see Elizabeth doing exactly that. But what you do see from Elizabeth so much is that she is so convinced of what she really thinks is right, and she won't listen to other people. She just doesn't.
Well, she's probably right.
Oh, no, she's probably right. But what I'm saying is that part of her, she can try to subdue it, and she can try to sort of obscure it and put some other kind of patience or whatever to the fore, you know, so that she can get along with other people. But that side of her that's unpleasant and unlikable always finds a way to come out.
Yeah, she's smug. You're right. She could bite her tongue and let the good stuff register and just bite her tongue about the bad, you know, the negative stuff she has. Yeah, but she's a pragmatist. She's very logical. And she's not so nice. She's not very nice.
That's correct.
So Philip says, you just don't get it. And she says, well, that's what they say, and that's why it works. And Philip says, now Philip's getting angry. And he says, I get a lot out of it. And Elizabeth says, well, maybe not. You're not sleeping or eating, and Martha was only an agent. At least she didn't have to send her into the street to get mowed down. And she brings up the whole Gregory thing.
Yeah, man, that made him mad.
And that was kind of unfair, because that's just a harboring thing. Like, she's been harboring this anger, and now she brings it all up. I mean, I don't think that's a very fair way to fight.
No, of course not. But, you know, Elizabeth was throwing what she could at him because, I mean, so I think part of it is that she's angry. I think because Philip does have unresolved feelings about Martha. I think she's resentful. And I think that with all of, she, from her point of view, from Elizabeth, you know, this idealist, this ideologue, you know, who's will do anything for the state. I think that for her, from her point of view, that maybe Philip's being a little bit of a crybaby because, you know, you lose agents. She's alive. You know, what's the big deal to Elizabeth's mind?
And, right. At least she's alive, and Gregory can't say that about Gregory.
Right. And so to her, she's lost much more than Philip has lost.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Then Philip comes back with the same fear that Elizabeth had about Martha. He says, sorry, the man you love died and you're stuck with me. And that, you know, that's just a reflection of Elizabeth asking him, if you could go to Russia with Martha, would you go and leave me here if you didn't have to worry about... They both have this insecurity about how much the other person cares for them and loves them, that she prompts this from Philip, or Philip generates it himself. I guess she doesn't prompt it. But he comes up with a, sorry, the man you really love died, and now you're stuck with just me. That's bullshit. That's just his weakness.
But, yes. Okay, when I wouldn't say weakness, I would say anger. I would say anger, not weakness. But what she said was horrible.
Yeah, and you got to help me understand this, because this I didn't catch. So then Elizabeth says, look, buddy, I took you back after you slept with the woman who had your son and lied to my face about it.
No. I'll tell you what she said, and then you can ask me your question. What she said was, he said, I'm sorry the man you love died and you're stuck with me. She said, I'm stuck with you because I took you back after you slept with the woman who had your son and lied to my face about it. So she's telling him that she's stuck with him.
Yeah, but who's she talking about?
Oh, okay. So
his son in Afghanistan?
Yes. In season, I think it was season one, Philip had to take a trip, an unexplained trip. We still don't know why he went. He had to go to someplace around, I don't know if it was Russia or somewhere. He had to go somewhere to Eastern Europe, I think. And they didn't know. When Philip was leaving, this was at just at the time when Elizabeth had started to let Philip in, and she said that she did want to have a relationship with him. Like a real relationship. And Philip had wanted that for a long time. He was in love with her, and she was just doing a job. And she finally said that she would give it a chance. And then he got called away, and she said to him, do not sleep with anybody while you're gone. And he left, and then he ended up running into this woman that he was in love with, and, you know, while he was there, and it was a complete surprise to him, and she told him then that he had a son. That was not, like, he didn't know that before. And she told him that she'd named him Misha, and how handsome he was, or I don't know. And then Philip slept with her. And when he came back home, Elizabeth asked him if he slept with anybody, and he lied. And then Claudia told her. And that's when Elizabeth beat the hell out of Claudia And then that's what turned their relationship terrible. And that's why Claudia didn't get to be their handler anymore. And they brought in Gabriel. Well, actually, they brought in Gabriel. Gabriel was handler number three. But that's why Claudia stopped being their handler.
Yeah, so that I figured that was the case. I mean, I figured everything you said. I didn't remember the details of Philip. Where did he go to, like, Moscow or somewhere in Europe? Where did he meet the woman who had his son?
Yeah, I think it was Eastern Europe that he was. Although it could have been, what was that place? The place where, the place in like Central America or South America?
El Salvador?
Maybe. Is that where the priest was?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been El Salvador because they had, like, there was some socialist kind of uprisings in Central and South America at that time, or socialist revolutions, if you want to call them that. And so it could have been there, but I believe it was in Eastern Europe.
So Philip just finds out now that Elizabeth knows this. He didn't know it. He didn't know that she knows it until now.
No, he knew. He knew because that's why she put him out. Remember when he got kicked out of the house and they were going to get a divorce and he was staying in a hotel and then Stan went and used his FBI skills to find Philip in the hotel so he could drink with him because he was upset about, I think it was Nina. He was upset about Nina, I think. So
they both knew about all of this. They just never discussed it. So that's why Elizabeth's all hot and angry about it now.
Okay. So when they did discuss it, it wasn't like a big deal. She kicked him out and then he stayed gone for a while and then they got back together.
But she's still harboring all these bad feelings about it.
Well, because they never screamed it out. They never had a big knockdown drag out about it.
Yeah, okay. So then the phone rings, and Elizabeth answers, and whoever the hell it is on the other end of the phone gets a hello.
Right.
Angry hello from Elizabeth.
Yep.
Now, Jamie, Gabriel, is this a new scene with Gabriel, or is he there? He seems to have simply stepped from behind a staircase.
Right.
Is he there while they're arguing like this?
I think he came to the house and just kind of let himself in. That's what it seems like.
Huh.
Either that or he was already there, but I don't think he was already there because they were like having it out and then Gabriel was like, "What's going on?" He didn't hear. So I think he let himself in.
Like he came in on the end tail end of it.
Yep.
He says Martha's in Cuba and Elizabeth, I guess the call was from Lisa.
Yeah, it was that, well, it wasn't from Lisa, it was from probably from that phone lady. Because she said Lisa sent a signal that she wants to talk early before our moment.
Okay, right, right.
Yeah.
So Lisa wants to talk. What's going on with you two? You look terrible. Gabriel asked them.
You've mastered his voice.
I've been going to Est, Philip says. And Elizabeth, then they're snarky at each other. He needs a group of strangers in a hotel room to listen to, not us. Okay. So Philip just leaves. And this is where Gabriel gets the tension vibe. Then he says he's tired, too. He's like, I'm tired. I'm going home, taking antibiotics, and then taking a nap. It's like, fuck this, man.
I love that. It was so funny because he was like, he just gave a list of the things that he was going to do. It was just so pointless. Why would he do that? I'm tired. I'm going to go home, take my antibiotic, and then I'm going to take a nap. It's
probably soothing for him to just say it.
You know what? It reminded me of Downton Abbey because the father, like the patriarch, the earl on the show, would tell people to go to bed. Like if he was really angry with somebody, he would yell at grown adults. He'd tell them, go to bed.
Yeah.
So this is like that.
Well, now Paige comes home and runs into the Elizabeth buzzsaw.
Oh, my God.
She's skipping Bible study. Elizabeth says, you need to go every week. And Paige says, I can skip a week. When you're not in the mood, it's obvious, and I don't want to be so obvious. And Elizabeth says, just get yourself in the mood. And then Paige turns her tail on her, and she says, get back in here. You control what you do. You will go to every Bible study every week and volunteer for shit.
That was just so crazy. That sounded so freaking crazy. I mean, it's like Elizabeth forgot that she was a mother. And that, like, I mean, she treated Paige like Paige was an adult and an agent. I mean, and that Elizabeth was her boss. It was so, like, it was really kind of, it wasn't just uncomfortable for me. It made me feel afraid for Paige, even though that sounds weird. Like, in the suspension of disbelief moment where you're taking the show seriously, it made me feel afraid and really, really sad for Paige, because I think that moment permanently changed her relationship with her mother.
Well, they have made Paige an agent. I mean, that 7-month time jump tells us that.
Right.
If you had to put, if you had to bet a bet, like, is Elizabeth more of a mother or a boss to Paige, it'd be hard to it'd be hard to definitively say, oh, she's clearly the mother. She's more of the boss, and certainly in this scene.
Oh, she's definitely the boss. That moment between her and Paige, when she said that stuff, from now on, you're going to do, let me be clear about what you're going to do. You're going to go to Bible study every week. You're going to go to church every week. You're going to, and then at this next moment, when she said, you're going to find some other shit to volunteer for, that moment, she stopped being Paige's mother.
Yeah. Then you're going to come home and report to me and your dad every night.
Yep.
That's the spy stamp on it.
Their moods, what they ate, all this crap, their thoughts. I mean, come on.
All right, Jamie, Gad and Stan at the elevator now. This is the scene with I'm going up to see the director. This, we know this is the axe for Gad.
Yeah.
And Stan tries to make him feel better with the stamp collecting. Just one time I went up there, I just wanted to find somebody who knew how to collect stamps. Gad says, I don't collect stamps. Now we see Gabriel and Claudia. Gabriel just says they're children. He's fed up with Elizabeth and Philip, and they're complaining. And Claudia says they don't have our experience yet, and they think they have it worse than us.
Nuh-uh. I think Gabriel said that. I think he said both of those. They're children. They don't have our life experience yet. Oh, no, wait. No, maybe you're right. Maybe Claudia said that. Sorry.
Well, it's a give and take. So Claudia says they don't have our experience yet, and I think Gabriel does say they think they have it worse than us. And then Gabriel relates the story of how he had to pull out agents in the past. And then Claudia mocks him. Your agents aren't listening to you. Boo-hoo.
Right. Well, see, the story that he told was really upsetting.
Yeah.
Because that story he told, he was talking about that he had to go pull that dude out. And that the friend, like that guy, knew. And he was like, I think he said something like, not you, like an et tu brute, you know, et tu brute kind of moment. Like, I mean, like, how could it be you who's going to send me to my death? And then he's like, Gabriel said, like, we put him in a car, and that, you know what it means, you know? But that's all he said. But you know exactly what it means. And he said the wife was screaming and the kids were screaming. And he had to do that. And this guy was his friend.
Right. He essentially sent his friend slash comrade slash partner to his death or whatever.
Yeah.
So we've seen this management ladder before. Like, Philip and Elizabeth complain to Gabriel. Gabriel says, oh, you got to stick with it and, you know, hang in there. And then he goes and complains to Claudia, and she says, oh, you got to get them to stick with it and hang in there. You know, it's kind of a ladder of shit flowing uphill or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit of the same. All right. Now Lisa and Michelle. Her name's Michelle with Lisa.
That's right.
Elizabeth is Michelle. She's not okay, Jamie. She's been drinking. Maurice took all her cash and his jar collection, and he's drinking again. She's drinking again, and she just wants to bail and tell the cops.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth's still angry. She tries to talk her down from this ledge, like, "Well, they'll take your kids away. Come on, let's go to a meeting. Let's figure this out." And Lisa's just too far gone. And she gets bashed in the head with a vodka bottle or something.
Yeah, some kind of bottle.
And then probably slashed with it. I can't figure out exactly what Elizabeth did because of the scene when she comes home. She appears to be wounded somehow or have blood on her. But when Philip wipes the part of her neck, it seems like it's painful.
Right. Well, I think probably what happened is that Lisa was probably trying to get Elizabeth away from her and was probably scratching at Elizabeth's face or something, whatever she could reach to get Elizabeth away from her because Elizabeth was cutting her throat.
Yeah, but when she bashed her, it looks like she was just out.
No, she was moving.
She didn't just drop. I thought she just dropped.
She dropped immediately, but as soon as she hit the floor, she was like trying to move to pick herself up.
Oh. Well, she probably grabbed her own bottle, crashed against the table edge, and then they had a little bit of a bottle fight.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Yeah, you're right. She probably fought back and scratched her. I thought that was an interesting view of innocence, like a review of innocence in the collaterals, like in Gene. Gene is gone. Lisa's gone. They had an interesting, almost a chess game, right? I had to take out my collateral, and now you had to take out yours. Like Elizabeth taking out Lisa and Philip taking out Gene. They were both in this episode for some reason. They kind of balanced each other out.
Yeah, I think that's the maybe part of the reason why they included that scene with Eugene, whatever the last name, Kraft, on it, and brought back that memory of Gene. But what I thought was so interesting about that scene is what Elizabeth said when she walked in the door. She didn't say, "I killed Lisa." She didn't say, "Lisa's dead." She said, "Lisa's dead too." And at that moment, I was like, who else is dead? But then after I thought about it, I was thinking she's got the same problem that Philip has. Maybe not as bad, but all this stuff is piling up in her mind. And what she was saying is, on top of everybody else that we've killed, here's another one.
Right. Yeah, they did a really good job, I think, with the gravesite visit by Philip, that they're equal. They're each doing this crap. They're each building up this residue of pain and evil. They're each doing it equally. It's not like, oh, Philip's really the murderer and Elizabeth has to deal with it. But they're equal, and they both have to deal with it. That's what makes it really interesting, is the equalness of it.
Yeah.
All right, they go to Gabriel's, or Gabriel's at theirs, or whatever, but they're... Gabriel breaks open the Scrabble game, and Philip's not interested. No tea, no game for Philip. I guess this is where Elizabeth comes back home after the Lisa murder. And Philip cleans her up and helps her with the cut on her neck or the scratches. And Gabriel says, "You guys need a break. I'm going to give you no more new jobs to do. It's just Kimmy and Younghee, nothing new, nothing else." And they look pretty relieved by this, Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
Even though that's still a pretty heavy workload. You remember what Philip's having to do with Kimmy.
Well, you don't think he's doing things with Kimmy, do you?
Of course he is. What do you think he's doing?
Well, I mean, he had gotten her to the point where they were, like, praying together and stuff. Remember? He didn't do things with her.
We didn't see him do things with her, but I think that's the implication.
Oh,
he's her boyfriend, and he's got to keep her happy. It's horrible. That's the pressure. I mean, that's the message. Although I don't know how Kimmy and Younghee are equal, because Younghee is just a pal of Elizabeth's at this point. Maybe she's got to do something super evil coming up with her. But anyway, those are their two duties now, and they leave. And Philip just says, "I guess we're off the hook. We get to be travel agents now." And I thought it was interesting, Jamie, they brought up the last two episodes in, like, the next two lines. We're going to be travel agents now, and Elizabeth says we should go to Epcot.
Yes, I thought that was really interesting. And I was thinking, you know, a couple of times this season, the episode that you're seeing is, like, the next episode that's coming up is reminiscent. Like, the title of the next episode that's coming up is like what the, wait, not the title. The title before is reminiscent or reflective of the episode that's coming up. Like with the travel agents one, now they're going to be travel agents. Because remember, you were asking, you were saying, well, who were the travel agents in this? If it wasn't like Tatiana, remember?
Yeah. And I thought the exact same thought. That's funny that you say that. I thought the exact same thought. They're using the title from the one before to reflect what's going on in this episode.
Right. So if that's the case, that plane disappears.
Well,
Martha disappears.
It could be. I mean, it could be. Although, just to clarify, Epcot was 403 and the one travel agents was like 406. So they weren't really in a row. And thinking about travel agents, I think travel agents, like the agent was the contamination, was the agent of the illness. What am I trying to say?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it's not. Yes. The biological agent.
Right. The rat, whatever the rat had in it.
Also, Elizabeth referred to Martha as an agent. Remember?
Yeah.
We lose agents. And so those are the travel agents, like the biological weapon and Martha.
Right.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I don't know what. In The Magic of David Copperfield, the plane disappearing. I think it was, there is one where he disappears a plane or whatever, makes a plane disappear.
Right. That was the part of the episode that was like that part of the title was obscured kind of. But yeah, I mean, and it just makes me think that that's the next thing is like that plane is not going to make it to Prague.
It's funny that we both thought that, but I kind of think we were both wrong. I don't think they're off by one episode with the title. Like, that's really for the next episode.
Well, maybe not by one, but it's definite. There's something that's kind of staggered where they're going back and using, you know, the plots, you know, ahead of the titles that are behind. Is definitely the case this season.
Yeah. Well, back at the Jennings house, Henry's watching the Copperfield trick. They all get together and eventually all watch it, but Henry kind of calls them to the TV. The Michael Scott little TV on the mantle, that was funny looking TV, tiny little TV. But they're all entertained by it. Copperfield relates some interesting stuff during his trick. He says that his family were immigrants, and we take our freedom for granted, and I'm going to prove to you how important freedom is by making this thing disappear and come back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not impressed by this kind of stuff, Jamie. He puts up a curtain on a TV. First of all, it's on TV. You can do anything you want on TV. What's the magic of it?
Particularly back then when nobody had any camera phones or anything.
Now, I'm going to link this in our show notes, and I haven't watched it myself, but it's like 48 minutes long. So maybe you can find it in YouTube when you watch it and narrow it down. But it's an hour long primetime show, I'm sure, back in whenever it was on by David Copperfield. And I'm sure it's stretched out and drawn out and commercialized and all that. But the YouTube video is like 48 minutes long. But I'll watch it eventually. But I'll put the link to it in the show notes. So if people want to watch it on YouTube, they can watch how the Statue of Liberty disappears.
Okay.
I'm not even super curious, though. It's not like, oh, I got to get to that video, and I still haven't watched it.
You know? I'm not particularly interested in any of that stuff. I think, you know, it's all definitely illusions. And so if it's an illusion, why waste my time?
So then we have the 7-month time jump. And while they're doing the time jump, they play some Roxy Music, cool song, End of the Line. And we come into a miniature golf game with the Statue of Liberty in the miniature golf course. It's Tim and Alice and Paige. And then they cut back and forth a couple times to some scenes of them playing hockey in the driveway with, it looks like Henry, although Henry's getting tall. I don't know if that's Matthew or Henry. I think it's Henry.
I don't know who it is. And I thought it was Henry for a second, but then when Philip and Elizabeth follow Paige into the house, Philip says bye and waves to that kid, whoever he is. So I don't know.
Well, I thought they were waving goodbye to Tim and
Oh, Dallas. Maybe, but it looked like they were waving goodbye to, like, he was waving goodbye to that boy. And so I was like, what the heck?
It's probably Henry, because I think Matthew would be too old to be playing hockey with Elizabeth and Philip.
Well, and plus, Matthew's not skinny like that.
Yeah.
But it should have been Henry. I'm just saying it didn't seem like it, by the way they were acting, and it didn't look like him either.
Then we see the odd scene. I didn't like this scene at all with Stan and Gad. So I guess it's at Gad's house.
He's really? Done,
I didn't like it. I guess he's totally done now with his job. He's going to go on do some traveling. He's going to go visit with his wife to her family in Thailand.
Gosh, I loved it. I really loved that scene. Because I don't know if you noticed, but as dark as this show is, like literally dark, as soon as they flashed that 7 months later, it was like bright and sunny and everything was airy and, you know, very light. And that was part of it. Like walking into Gad's house, Gad was relaxed and happy and chilling and, you know, no more stress and talking about his trip and drinking beer. I loved that scene.
Yes. Gad had some odd philosophy for Stan. Maybe you can help me with it, but they talk about the new guy is a typical Webster munchkin. So I think William Webster at Reagan's era was the director of the FBI. So the new boss, the new Gad, essentially is some Webster soldier. And he won't allow any personal clocks or radios. remember, they put a clock in Casper Weinberger's office way back in the beginning, season one or two.
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody makes it. I think Gad makes a joke about nothing about pens. Stan, yeah. Stan kind of laughs along with him. And then Gad starts to ask Stan about Burroff, like Oleg. He wonders about Stan and Burroff and says, don't let your conscience bother you because of Nina. What did you get from this philosophy coming from Gad to Stan?
All right. I it's a weird thing, and I think on the one hand, it's kind of like indicating how well Gad knows Stan. I think that's part of it. And then I think he's trying to get Stan to get out of this kind of morass that he's in. Because he's probably stagnated. Like, he's probably, you know, not doing what he could be doing in order to get himself to a different place or to, what do they call that? Turn Oleg. You know, I don't know. But the way that he's talking about it, it's like he knows that Stan is blocked, and he's trying to get Stan to unblock himself so that he can do something about this situation.
He's a little S session for Stan.
Maybe.
So he says, screw them, it's your operation. Don't let your conscience bother you because of Nina. You can't lose sight of who these people are. Is he talking about the FBI people or the Russians?
I think he's talking about the Russians.
So it's not just philosophy. It's almost like it's not just an unblock yourself and reach your potential. It's kind of like a warning. Don't lose sight of who these people are. Be careful.
Oh, I didn't think it was that. I didn't think it was be careful. I think it was, this is the enemy. Don't lose sight of who these people are. You should be trying to ruin their situation.
I mean, don't get close and friendly with Oleg too much that it blocks your view of who they really are.
No, what I mean is don't become complacent in thinking that this is too complicated because of Nina. Don't let the fact that you both loved Nina stop you from doing what you have to do.
Hmm.
And then, you know, when he said, because he said something like, you've got his brother and you've got her too. And then like something like that's what you have. Like that's what your tool or something like that. Like to use Oleg's grief over his brother and his grief over Nina to manipulate him into flipping.
That's your advantage. Yeah. Do you think Stan really needed to hear that from Gad, though? I was kind of surprised that Gad was telling... Like, Stan doesn't need to hear this, does he?
I think he does. I think he does, because he's, you know, it's like Gad was saying, you know, and that was the thing that was really kind of cool that was unspoken between them, but Gad can't know any of this stuff anymore. It's not like Stan can talk to him about it. He can't.
And it also, they made it seem like Gad, this was like maybe one of the first times that Stan had seen Gad in these 7 months.
Yeah. Yes.
Not like he comes over every week and does a data download with him. He just hasn't seen him in a long time.
Right.
All right, well, I forgot to say, by the way, Alice is pregnant when they're playing golf. So Tim and Alice and Paige get home kind of near the hockey game, and they all get out of the car. And Paige gives the official report. She's really an official agent now, and they've turned her into an agent, essentially. She just gives a matter-of-fact 10-word report.
Well, here's the thing. When they were playing mini-golf, like in the scene earlier where we saw, you know, Tim and Alice was all huge pregnant and they were playing. They were all having fun and laughing and everything. And Paige was smiling until she went to bend down to get that mini golf ball. Her face lost all of its emotion. It went completely flat just in that second that she bent down to pick up the ball where nobody could see her. So you could see in that scene that she was miserable. And then she gets out of the car and it's all the huggy stuff. And then, you know, Paige is smiling. She goes into the house and she's, you know, and her parents are following her to, like, you know, talk with her. And when, you know, I think it was Philip who said, "Is everything okay?" And then she turns around and very matter-of-factly, like a robot, reads off that list of, you know, details about the whole thing. And then Philip looks really confused. Like, that's the way it hit me. And it made me wonder if Philip is aware of what Elizabeth did to Paige.
Yeah, that's really sad. There's a couple sad things. First of all, they stole away whatever Tim and Alice were to Paige, because they were like, they were a refuge for her to go and just find some peace and somebody to relate to. And now she just hates being near them, like you said. It's all an act. She's acting pleasant, but she hates it. But then if Philip doesn't understand Paige anymore, that's really, really sad. Like, he doesn't get it that Paige is just doing this and she's in misery. Especially if it's been going on for months like this. He doesn't understand that she's miserable. That is sad.
Yes.
And, it's hard to even believe that he doesn't understand or doesn't recognize that she's just miserable like this.
Well, he may recognize it, but he may not know that she has absolutely no choice because her mother has threatened her.
Yeah. Well, that says a lot about Philip and Elizabeth, too. Because they appeared happy in the driveway.
They did. You know, and it was probably nice because they got to get away from, you know, all that terrible lying and stress and, you know, and lack of time and, you know, everything else that they have been going through. So I'm sure, you know, it brought a lot of lightness and happiness and, you know, peace to, you know, their beings. You know, but there's always going to be that dark underside. And it seems to me as though Paige is the person who's paid the price, you know, for their freedom, basically.
Well, so we have to wonder what's in store for Henry, if he's just on the same track and just 2 years behind Paige. And then whatever happens between Elizabeth and Philip, because they're doing this to their children. These children aren't just tools. They can't be. They have to be more. There has to be more personal and emotional attachment and repercussions than just tools that get used by these people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Philip not seeing this in Paige. In fact, it's hard for me to even believe that he doesn't see it. But he appears happy and she appears sad. So, and a lot of time has passed. 7 months is a long time.
That's right.
All right, Jamie, there's five left in season four. We're at episode 409 next week, the day after, and we go up to 13. So we're five left.
I can't believe that there are that many episodes left.
I know. It seems like we're coming to a finish, huh?
Yeah.
It's kind of both. It seems like it's ending pretty quickly, and it also seems like there's a lot left. It's weird.
Well, yeah, five is a lot. But, I mean, they show up every week like clockwork. So, I mean, it really is just in just over a month we'll be done for the year. But yeah, I mean, it feels rich. It feels like a lot because all of our other shows are usually like 10 episodes.
Well, we show up every week like clockwork too, Jamie. Well, mostly like clockwork. So any last thoughts on The Magic of David Copperfield 5, The Statue of Liberty Disappears?
Well, the only other thing I can think of that we didn't talk about is Elizabeth sitting in the car in the garage. And I had made like a connection between that time when she was in the car in the garage, when Paige first found out about them. And I said that it was like, you know, she was wrapped in like all these darknesses and it made it seem like that she was inside of her conscience, like she was really being reflective in that time. And the fact that she was doing that again in this episode and the way that you made those connections between those things about like people internalizing stuff and then, you know, taking their own thoughts about things, it just it brought out that reminder again. So I think your analysis of this episode was fantastic.
Well, thanks, Jamie.
You're welcome.
How do people reach you before the day after next week if they need to tweet you?
I am on Twitter and I'm at Ward Gurley.
And I'm at Scathing Tweets. So that's going to do it for 408. This is probably the longest title ever of an Americans episode.
Of any episode of a show.
Next week is simple, the day after 409.
Excellent.
See you then, Jamie.
Okay, bye, Mike.
Bye.
I need names. People working in the CIA.
I've got them.
Wait. They should grab her, set up a roadblock, pull her over before it's too late.
Excuse me, ma'am.